Oops.
There you go.
Thanks for telling me.
Right. Let's begin straight away. We're at the bottom of the Gemara. We saw yesterday the question of Hazmonim. Hazmona milsa, Hazmona lav milsa, and we came to the maskana that it seems to be a machlekas. According to the first opinion, it's only if you have a double condition in place, both Hazmona and also the fact that you actually used the cloth to put your tefillin in. You have to have those both conditions in place. But the Gemara said, Abaya says, no, you only have to have Hazmona. Actually putting the tefillin there in the cloth is not of significance. The only thing is, have you designated or have you not designated the cloth for the tefillin? If you have, then you can't put your money there. And if you haven't, then you can. So that's what we saw so far. So let's continue on the seventh bottom line. Bo mine Rav Yosef. Braid Rav Nechunya. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Nechunya, asked me Rav Yehuda, Mahu sheyaniach odom tfilin tachas mirashoysof. Are you allowed to put your tfilin underneath your head? I mean, you use them as a pillow. Says the Gemara, if you look at Rashi, the bottom Rashi on the bottom line, Ma'u shi'aniach tfilov matachas merashesov b'layla k'shehu yoshen. At night, when he's sleeping, he wants to take them off and I guess protect them. So he wants to put them underneath merashesov, which means underneath his head. Is that permitted? Says the Gemara, tachas margaloysov, underneath his feet, loy komi boyeli. That I'm not asking at all. I'm only asking about underneath the head. But as far as I'm concerned, to put them underneath the feet, that's not a question. Shenoyeg bohen, that would definitely be considered conducting with them, minhag bizoyeg. So certainly, says Rav Yosef, to put the tefillin underneath the feet would definitely be also because that would be considered a minag bizoyen. To rest your feet on the tefillin would be a bizoyen to the tefillin. Therefore, he said, that's not my shayla. So what is the shayla? Ki komi boyeli, comma. What I am asking, said Rav Yosef, is tachas mirashoysov. My, what would be the halacha? Underneath the feet would certainly be considered a bizoyin, says Rabbi Yosef. But what about underneath the head, using the tefillin as it were as a pillow? Would that also be considered a bizoyin, question mark? Omalei, hochi, omar, Shmuel. So he said, Shmuel said the following, muta, it is indeed permitted, afilu ishtoi imoi. And even if his wife is with him, we'll have to see what state of clothing she's in. We'll soon see. Even if his wife is with him, it's also mutter to have the tefillin there. So we seem to have resolved our shayla. The question was whether you're allowed to have the tefillin underneath the head. And the answer is yes, va'afilu ishtoi imoy. Even if his wife is there with him at the time, it would also be permitted. Says the Gemara, meisvei. We can ask Akasha why. Loi yaniach odom tfilov tachas margaloisov. We have a braisa which says, indeed, do not put your tefillin underneath the feet. Okay, so far that makes sense. Mepnei shenoyeg bohen derech bizoyen. Because that would be considered a bizoyen for the tefillin. Avol manichon tachas merashoysov. But you may place the tefillin underneath the head. So far, everything fits in perfectly. No question so far. But then it says, Vim hoiso ishtoi imoi osor. But if his wife is with him, then it would not be permitted. That does not fit in with what we said before in the name of Shmuel. Here we're being told that if his wife is with him, then the tefillin should not be left there. Hoyo mokoim shegovoya gimul tfochim. If the place of the tefillin was higher than his head by a height of 3 tfochim, oy nomuch gimul tfochim, or it was lower, then it would be mutter. Says Rashi on the bottom line. Im hoya mokoim gavoya gimul tfochim lema lo merashoisov. Above his head, he had some sort of shelf there. V'olov, and on it, noisein hatfilin. And on that shelf, that's where he placed the tefillin. All the other way around. Oy, lemato mirashoisov. Or beneath the height of his head. Yoitse mokoim min hamito. There is a certain place that seems to exit from the bed. So presumably next to the bed is a shelf. Either above his head by the height of gimel tfochim, or beneath his head by the height of gimel tfochim, then it would be permitted to have his tefillin there, even though his wife is with him. So we seem to have now a contradiction to Shmuel, because Shmuel said you can have your tefillin there, underneath the head, even though his wife is with him. And yet the Braisa says that no, he cannot. That would be considered a bezoyin, unless it's out of reach, or at least not in close proximity, more than 3 tefachim away, either up or down. Says the Gemara, indeed, tiyufta de Shmuel tiyufta, period. It would seem to be that Shmuel is completely disproven, and therefore l'chayra, the halacha could not follow Shmuel. And therefore l'chayra, the halacha is you cannot have your tefillin there if ishtoi imoy. However, says the Gemara, Omar Rava, afal gav de tanya tiyufta de Shmuel. Even though we just said that Shmuel is disproven, which would surely suggest that the halacha therefore does not follow his opinion. Nonetheless, Hilchasa Kavosei. But nonetheless, the halacha does in fact follow his opinion. Very strange line. Even though we have a clear proof against Shmuel from a Braisa, because the Braisa said, do not put the tefillin there if his wife is with him. Shmuel said it's permitted. The Braisa said it's prohibited, and Shmuel therefore seems to be arguing with the Braisa, and therefore we would say that Shmuel is not lahalocha. Says the Gemara, actually the halocha is like Shmuel. And yes, you should put your tefillin underneath the head in order to protect them, even though his wife is with him. Says the Gemara on the last word on the page, my timer. What indeed is the reason behind this? Surely it will be considered a bezoyin for the tefillin. Says the Gemara, that may well be. However, kol lunaturinhu tfei odif. The bach is geiris, tfei odif mibizyoini. Meaning, we've got a bit of a decision to make over here. On the one hand, it might be considered a bezoyin for the tefillin if they're sitting right there and his wife is next to him. On the other hand, what's the alternative? Where's he going to put his tefillin? After all, as we're about to see in Rashi, the reason why he wants to put the tefillin there is because of Shmira. He wants to protect the tefillin. So if he does not put the tefillin underneath his head, so where is he going to leave them? Lying around somewhere. Well, they might be taken or attacked by rodents. So the Gemara considers the protection of the tefillin more important than the bezoyin to the tefillin. And therefore, even though we have a braisa that does not seem to fit in with Shmuel, but nonetheless, halacha is like Shmuel, that you should put the tefillin underneath your head. Why? Because that way the tefillin will be protected, and that's more important to us than the bezoyin of the tefillin. Look at the top Rashi. Kol l'neturinu, which everything that is there for protection, says Rashi. Kol l'neturinu tfei odif lehu mibizyayini. More important is to protect the tefillin than to be concerned with the bizayon of the tefillin. Kama shehu muzhar, as he is being careful al shmirasam for their protection, min ha'achborim, whether it be from rodents, or min ha'ganovim, from thieves, tfei odif lehu, is better for the tefillin mi bizayoni than the bizayon incurred by the fact that the tefillin are there whilst his wife is in close proximity. Now, I would say this is a little bit of a chiddush. Why is this a chiddush? Because at the end of the day, we don't know that they're going to be stolen. We don't know that there's going to be a rat infestation. So it's a sofik. But having them there when next to his wife is a vadai bizoyin. So it seems to me a bit of a chiddush that a vadai bizoyin is waived because of a sofik shmira. But that, after all, is the chiddush of the Gemara. That yes, you can, and not only can you, you should put the tefillin underneath the head, even though his wife is there. Yes, it will be considered a bezoyin, but better to be mevazeh the tefillin than to leave them unprotected. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, v'heicha mamach lehu. So now that you've told me that yes, you can place them underneath your head, where would be the exact place that he should keep them? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya ben kar lekeses. What's a kar and what's a keses? Ben kar lekeses shaloi keneged roishoi. Rabbi Yosef, how does Rabbi Artskol translate kar and keses? A pillow and a blanket?
Yeah, a mattress. That's right. Mattress and a pillow in that order. Kar is a mattress.
You and put them between the mattress and the pillow, meaning underneath his pillow, but shaloi keneged roishoi, but not immediately underneath his head. So if his head is on the left-hand side of the pillow, then the tefillin should be underneath the right-hand side of the pillow, in between the mattress and the pillow. And that way, I guess, we are minimizing the bizoyin to the tefillin. Ask the Marakasha, Vahotani Reb Chiya, but surely Reb Chiya taught us, Manichon b'koiva tachas mirashoisov. End of question. So what's the shaila of the Gemara? Surely Reb Chiya taught us that where should you place the tefillin? Manichon b'koiva. What's koiva? Now, koiva literally translated as a hat. But Rashi says, koiva over here means hu hakis shelohem. It's referring to the tefillin covering. So you place them in the tefillin covering, meaning in the tefillin bag. Tachas marashoisov. Underneath his head. We just said it should not be directly beneath his head. Rather, it should be, as we said before, if his head is on the left-hand side of the pillow, then the tefillin should be underneath the right-hand side of the pillow. And yet over here, what does it say? It should be tachas mirashosov, underneath his head. And underneath his head sounds like directly underneath his head. And that seems to be a stira. Says the Gemara, no. The mapik lay lemursha, the koiva lebar. Says Rashi, lemursha de koiva. This koiva, as we said, literally translated hat, but in our context it means the tefillin covering. Lemursha de koiva, shah tefillin nikarin biblitosa. The tefillin are noticeable by the fact they stick out. The ketzei hakis, in the edge of the bag. So if you put tefillin in a tefillin bag, you don't exactly need to be Sherlock Holmes to work out where in the bag is the tefillin. You can see clearly see in the bag where it juts out, where it sticks up. Obviously, that's where the tefillin are. Vahu kamursha. So Yosef, how do they translate mursha in Rabbi Artscroll? Like in a corner or a jutting out? I think you're on mute.
Bulge.
Yeah.
Bulge. Right, that's that jutting out. So therefore, even though the koiva might well be underneath his head, but the tefillin is bulging out, and that will not be underneath his head. So just because the hat or the bag, the tefillin bag, is underneath his head, that does not necessarily mean that the tefillin themselves are immediately under his head. They will be in this mursha. Mursha, we said, means the bulge, and that will be bulging out away from his head, meaning his head is not directly sitting on the tefillin. Says the Gemara, an alternative answer. Bar Kapora, Sayer Lehu. Bar Kapora used to wrap up his tefillin, Bekilta. As we'll see in Rashi, this is a covering, some sort of material covering. And then umapik lemurshehoin lebar. And indeed, exactly as we said before, this is not a new answer. I'm sorry, it's the same answer as before. And indeed, he used to be mapbit that the bulge should be sticking out lebar. Bar means outside, meaning outside of the direction of his head, says Rashi. Sayer lohu bekilta, biyirio, in the material, apruso svivois mitoso, which was hanging over the side of his bed. Koishron used to tie them up. So he had some material hanging, draped over his bed. And in that material, he used to wrap up his tefillin. However, says Rashi, the next Rashi on the first narrow line, umapik lemurshehem lebar, litas hakesher shatfilin boiltin min hayiria, where the kesher of the tefillin was boiling, was bulging from the iria, or yahoifech letzad Achutz, the Leilitzav HaMitzvah. He used to make sure that that particular area, the bulge of the tefillin, used to be sticking out away from the bed and not towards the bed. So this would be in fitting with what we said before, that the actual tefillin should not be directly by his bed or by his guf. And if he puts them underneath the pillow, then he should not literally be sleeping on the tefillin. Rather, the tefillin should be bulging elsewhere from underneath the pillow. So just give me 2 seconds. Okay, it says the Gemara, Rav Shesha, Breder of Idi, Rav Shesha, the son of Rav Idi, Manach Lahu, he used to put the tefillin, Ashar Shifa. What is Ashar Shifa? Rashi says one word, Safsal, a bench. So he indeed did not put them, it sounds like, immediately underneath his head or on the bed, rather it was a bench. Uporis Sudra, and he then used to drape a cloth, Alayhu, over them. So he used to drape a cloth over them. The tefillin would be sitting on the tefillin would be sitting on the bench, and the cloth will be draped over the tefillin. Omer Rav Hamnuna, said Rav Hamnuna, Breder of Yosef, Zimna Choda. On one particular occasion, Hava Koimna Kamei Derava. I was standing in front of Rava. This is Rav Hamnuna talking now. Rav Hamnuna says, I was once with Rava. Va'omar li, and he said to me, Zil Aisi Li Tfilin. Go and fetch my tfilin, please. And guess where I found them? The Ashkechatinu, and I found them Bain Kar Lekeses. Indeed, I found them between the mattress and the pillow, albeit Shaloi Keneged Roshay. Now, Vahava Yodano, I happened to know, I'm not sure how he knew and how he was allowed to know, but I happened to know Deyoim Tvila Hava, that this was the day that his wife had Tvila, which means that we can be rest assured that this was a situation of Ishtoi Imoi. Vla Agmuron Halocha Lemaisa. And in order to teach us Halocha Lemaisa, Hu De Ovad, that's why he did so. In other words, why did Rava dispatch me to fetch the tefillin? Why didn't he just bring them himself? So said Rav Amnona, I know for certain he did so in order to teach me a halacha. He wanted me to see where the tefillin were, even though I knew full well that he just had a leil tefillah. Which means he clearly wanted me to know, in order to teach me the halacha, that even when ishtoi imoy, you can have the tefillin there underneath the pillow. Says Rashi. Yoim tvila hava, yoim shetovlo ishtoi. It was the day that his wife toiled in the mikveh. Da havelei leil tashmish, which means that evening they had relations together. Vahainu kishmuel, and this therefore fits in with the psak of Shmuel, who said the omar Afilu ishtoi imoi. Even if his wife is with him, which was clearly the case in the story of Rava, and nonetheless the tefillin were there, says Rashi. Ula agmura malocha lemaisa. Ma shetzivani. That which he commanded me, lahaviyom, to bring them, loy to him, loy also, elo, lelamdeini halacha. He only did so in order to teach me the halacha. Don't think that he sent me to bring his tefillin because he was lazy or because he was tired. He sent me to bring his tefillin because he wanted me to see where the tefillin were being kept, in order to teach me the halacha, la'asos ma'isa k'shmuel, to clearly demonstrate that yes, we definitely paskan like Shmuel, and even if ishtoi imoi, nonetheless the tefillin may be stored there. That's what he wanted me to see.
Wouldn't it be much more tsanua to just tell him what the halacha is instead of sending him and having a whole ma'isa and recorded in a Gemara about a mikveh night?
But if it wouldn't be recorded in the Gemara, then we wouldn't know about it.
But he could just teach it with words. Why would he have to bring his personal wife into the matzav?
Because maybe it's more tzanua not to talk about it. Okay. This is the famous question I'm very, very often asked. In fact, I just had the question yesterday on Erev Yom Tov. What do you do when there's a leil tevila? Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly that one must do everything one can to conceal the fact that this is the leil tevila of the wife. So, of course, the classic question arises, for example, on Yom Tov. Somebody has a leil tevila on leil Yom Tov, and they're with the entire family, parents and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. So what do you do if she tovels? Everybody's going to know, especially so because if she can't wear, for example, any makeup on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, it's a clear giveaway sign. So is it better to push off the tefillah that nobody should know? Or is it better not to push off the tefillah? These are classic questions. But either way, fine, he felt it was necessary to teach him this halacha, and the best way to do it was not to talk about it, but rather to demonstrate it. Okay, let's just make a start to the next Gemara. We won't be able to finish it, but at least we'll make a start.
What's the answer? Should the woman go to the mikveh or push it off?
So it depends. It depends. A very, very complicated question. And the real answer depends on the situation. In this particular case, they'll be waiting many, many, many years for kids. So to push off the leil tefillah is not simple. So there's a whole question of what do you do with the makeup. Anyway, so I discussed with him barichos, and then guess what? He calls me on Motzi Yom Tov and says everything was set up and she was due to go. And then suddenly she remembered that she forgot to do a bedikah on the last day of Shiva Nakim. So that was that. Okay, says the Gemara, Boi minei Rav Yosef brei Rav Nechunya mirav Yehuda. So we have a question now. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Nechunya, asks the following shaila. Shnayim sheyeshenim b'mito achas. Two people who are sleeping in the same bed. Mahu, what would be, is this okay? Shezeh yachzir ponov v'yikro kriya shema. Let this one turn away from the other and recite kriya shema. V'zeh yachzir ponov v'yikro kriya shema. Now, we have to know that there are several important halachas that we need to be aware of over here. When saying Devarim Shebikdusha, such as Kriya Shema, so there are a number of halachas that dictate that he cannot say the Kriya Shema if there is what we call an Erva Kenegdoi. So here we are talking about two people, presumably not dressed, in the bed, and if they were facing each other, then to say Kriya Shema, you run into the issue of saying Kriya Shema in front of an Eruva. With the question being, fine, so can they simply turn around, face the opposite direction? Neither of them are now facing each other, and that way they will say Kriya Shema. Now, there is an obvious point, even before discussing whether this is mutter or not, but we must not make a mistake over here. Not only can Kriya Shema not be said in the presence of the erva of somebody else, neither can it be said in the presence of one's own erva. Another halacha, there has to be a separation between the lave and the erva, which means even if the eyes cannot see the erva, but if there's no separation between the lave and the erva, then it's also forbidden. Now, this is extremely negeya halacha lemaisa. This might sound very not halacha lemaisa. This is negeya halacha lemaisa every single day. Every single day. And what is that? When an isha tovels in the mikveh, how does she say the bracha? Obviously, she says the bracha after she's already in the mikveh. So now, if her head is out the water and the erva is in the water, so then we don't have an issue of the einayim, the eyes, seeing the erva. But we do have an issue of the lave seeing the erva. So for that reason, the Noshim are taught that they should fold their arms, which should therefore act as a barrier, as a chatzitza, between the lave and the erva. So that way, neither the eyes nor the lave can see the erva. So now back to our question. Look at the second Tosfos on the Omud, the second Tosfos. Shnayim shayushenim b'mito, says Tosfos, I don't understand. Why are we busy discussing each one seeing the other one's erva? Ve'im toima v'haloi roya ervas atzmoi. He can see his own erva, and that should be problematic. Ve'yeshleima, says Tosfos, no, that's not a problem. She'yotzi roishoi l'chutz. He will take his head out of the blanket. So the guf is covering his blanket. His roish is not under the blanket, rather his roish is out of the blanket, which means the erva is covered and the eyes cannot see the erva, but that still does not solve all the problems. Vim toima vaharei liboi roya esa ervo. Even if his eyes cannot see the erva, but the lave can. V'yesh loima, two answers. Either that this Gemara, the Kosova, Liboy roya esa erva muta, because there is actually a discussion, therefore maybe this opinion says that liboy roya esa erva is absolutely permitted, there is no problem in the first place. Alternatively, inami choitzeitz bebigdoi keneged liboy. Alternatively, like we said before, instead of folding the arms underneath the lave, he will place a beged underneath the lave. That way there will be a chatzitza, a barrier. So therefore, from the lave to the erva, there is a barrier, which is, as far as I understand, by the way, part of the reason where it comes from to wear a belt, or the chassidim wear a gartel during davening, in order to take care of this issue. There's no problem of liboy roya eso erva. Because even if, imagine if a person was clothed, fully clothed, wearing, for example, a dressing gown, a robe. Now, if a person will be wearing a robe, that's one long beged from head to toe. So even though the einayim cannot see the erva, but the lave can. But if, however, you have a belt round the waist and you tie the belt, that would now act as a chatzitza from the lave to the erva. So Tosfos, that's what we're talking about in our Gemara. Okay, we have to hold it over here.
So women who wear like a Shabbos robe, that's just like one kind of robe, is that an issue for tefillah?
It depends what they're wearing underneath. If they're wearing no clothes underneath whatsoever, then in order to say brachas, they should either fold their arms or make sure there's a belt. But in most cases, they would be wearing begodim underneath, some sort of undergarment. That itself would be a chasitza. Okay, I wish you all well. Mr. Hashem, next week we'll continue.
Oh.